Philippians 1 and 23. And God said, let us make what?
Man
in
our image.
And
after our likeness.
Uh-huh.
And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And over the fowl of the air. And over the cattle. And over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth.
All right. And then first step, 27 says.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Amen. And again, I love that he reiterated. God created man in his image. In the image of God created. You see how that works? Awesome. He's trying to keep pushing this. He's pushing this in his word. All right. Again, without going into too much, because we didn't teach you on this before, just want to remind you again, it says, in our image and likeness. So that means that we were supposed to look like God, and we're supposed to act like God. All right? And that we were, so what that means is that we had dominion over all the earth, over everything in the earth. We were ambassadors. We were representatives of God on earth. We were like Moshiach. We were to be Yeshua. All right. So again, God made us in his image. All right. And then it goes on in verse, let's jump over to Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, please. All right. A lot of people say, oh, see, Adam was the only image of God. How many have heard that? He was the only image of God. And after Adam, everybody was in Adam's image. No, not you just read this. All right. And this came, this was after. All right. So no, we are made in the image of God, all right? So I want to fast forward some more. Please run over to Revelation chapter 15. Revelation 15 and verse 2. Okay? So there are people that he saw that did what? Everybody? They got the victory over the beast and over his and over his mark. You see, I want you to look and zoom in on that image. So there are a people that will take the mark, right? Alright? So there are people that will be in the image of the beast. They will follow that line. And without going through a whole bunch, because I'm pretty sure all of you know this, if anybody does not know it, please raise your hand and we'll go through that scripture. Where the scriptures talk about, we were just talking about Adam and Eve. When Yah says, talks about the serpent. And he says, the serpent will have enmity against you, the woman's seed. Remember that? All right? And vice versa. Okay? And he says that the serpent's seed will do what? Bruise his heel. Right? But the seed of the woman will what? Ultimately crush the head. All right? Now note, there are two seeds. All right? You're seeing the seed from God versus the seed from the beast. All right? The snake. Well, what does the serpent do? What does the enemy do? What does the adversary do? He contradicts everything God has said. All right? He tries to destroy what God has said. He was in the garden, and what did he do? He tried to what? Alter God's word. Remember how Church says that the enemy, you know, can disguise himself as an angel or messenger of light. Well, folks think for some reason that he's saying, oh, this angel is going to turn into light. No, you guys know better than that. Just talk about the word of God. All right? The word is light. All right? So they're going to act like they're coming teaching the word. Because what did the serpent do? He repeated the word of God to the beast. But when he kind of questioned his word, so what did he say? This God is really angry. And then what happened when Yeshua was taken up to that place with where he was tempted? All right? And what did Satan do? Did he come to talk about some of it? No, he started talking to the Bible. You see? So that's what he's going to do. But he will twist and contradict God's word. That's why Paul says, use the scripture for instruction
And proof and what we're writing as well, and we're supposed to use the word. Don't want to say anything a little, check the word and make sure it lines up. Even with the, what he talked about the Bereans, it's the same thing. Then they went back to the scripture to see if everything that Paul was saying was true. Alright? People have twisted Paul's words, haven't they? Yes, we know this for a fact. Any day is a good day. Why did God say that? That's not the way it sounds. This life is serving. And again, where will these people be?
Right in the church.
Right in God's garden. Think about it. Where were they? In the holy place, the set apart garden of Yah. That's right where it was. And did God not know that this was going to happen? Yes, he knew. Yes, he knew. Alright? But he got to a lot of testing. So that, are you going to hold on to my word? Or are you going to listen to somebody else? Why? Because it feels good to you. No. Sometimes God's word does not feel good. It's not always something, oh, it's so fuzzy and happy. And, no, sometimes it's a battle, it's a struggle. You know, like Yeshua said, you know, love them that hate you. Bless them that persecute you or speak evil of you. Is that an easy thing to do?
No.
And remember, when he said love your enemy, that's not phileo. That's not the Greek word phileo.
So you love them for what they did.
No, it's the Greek word agape, which means that the
person.
Even if they do something wrong, guys were supposed to still. My goodness. That's the image we're supposed to be in line with. That's the mind we're supposed to have. And who's going to work from all of us? Let that mind be in line. The walk of being in the image of God, your God is not something that happens just like that. It doesn't happen instantly. We're supposed to be striving, walking forward, pressing forward tomorrow. We're supposed to be walking, learning, growing. That's why the scriptures tell us we start off as babies,
wanting the sincere milk of the word.
And then we're also ultimately supposed to grow and not stay in that babe. We're supposed to continue to grow in the word. Remember, I think it was Paul again. He said, we should be on meat, but you have to be able to on milk. This is a growth. It's a growth. It's not something that's instant. But there is supposed to be a transformation, a growth, a change. All right? Where were we just now? Really? All right. So again, there are a set that will have the image of the beast, and to walk with it, in the spirit of Antichrist. All right. It's not brand new. It's not something that's going to start right now. No, the scriptures have told us that the spirit of Antichrist was already back there with Messiah. Did you not, have you not read that? The apostles have said, the spirit of Antichrist already works. Way back then. So yeah, it's here. It's been here. All right. But again, we are supposed to be either in the image of whoever father you are. Like, remember Messiah said? Messiah said, you are of your father too. There's two. And no, where this was. See, folks, look, oh, Israel. No, you gotta look at what this is talking about. There are things that folks you need to be following God. Alright? These folks are the religious folks. Alright? This is, you can look at today. Alright? Are we really showing the fruit of the Spirit of God?
Of the Lord.
Are we really showing His image on earth? Are we like, oh, I don't like you because this, that, or the other thing? Oh, I'm not comfortable with you because of this, that, or the other thing? Either outward appearances, from finances to your color, silliness like that, what happens to the Spirit of God? What does the Bible tell us? They are going to be in the churches teaching and preaching this stuff, and it's going to sound good to people, but it will not line up with the Word. Alright? We are all one person. The Bible says, when we are in Christ, we are what? Abraham indeed. It says that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ in you, you are none of His. Alright? That's the Spirit is what guides us and leads us to become, to be conformed into the image of who?
Yes.
Yes, you are.
Hallelujah.
You have to have the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if we have the Spirit,
How do you know? We'll know by the fruit. What type of fruit are we, or what are we reproducing? Are we actually reproducing the image of God? Just like a,
I know this probably sounds weird, but the apple tree is the image of the seed manifested.
You take that little seed, you don't, I don't know what it is.
Put it in the ground
and let it what? Grow.
You see that? Grow. God, I'm not actually sure. But you put it in the ground, cover it up,
right?
Yeah. With dirt, representing oppression and all this trouble, you know, darkness and pressure and all this. But what will you do? You will begin to what? Instead of just sticking in with it, but you're going to arise, shine, the light that comes in the glory of the Lord. I love how those things do that. It blows my mind that these guys are in darkness, pressed down, yet they strive and they come up, they don't go down, but in the darkness, somehow they see light and they keep opening up. That's how we're supposed to be. We have to read the word, find that word, and find, go press towards the light. That's why he says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a
light.
That's two separate lights. That's not one light. That's two separate lights. It's a lamp for my feet to help me guide me while I press towards the what? The light that's in my path. That's my path. That's my goal. That's my destination. But I will use this lamp to help me because why? There are potholes that I don't see because I'm trying to make my way through darkness.
That's good.
So we walk with the light.
Amen.
And if it doesn't line up,
amen.
Yeah. Turn it off. Move this way. No, that's not lining up. That's a. Did you say the blinding of the mind? They both fall into this thing.
Yeah. No, that's not what we're supposed to be.
But again. The scriptures tell us we are supposed to be growing into the image of Moshiach, Christ, who was also, I hope I can find the scripture, who was also, he was the second Adam. Now, we already know that the first Adam was made in the image of God. We just read that. But did you know
that Adam was actually made in the image of the Messiah who was supposed to come?
Let's look at a couple of scriptures. All right. Let's go again to, let's read this. Let's go into 2 Corinthians. I'm, because I have these written down, we're going to have to repeat some of the things I've already told you. All right. 2 Corinthians 4:4. Did you see that? So Christ is what? The image of God. Let's keep going. Romans 5. Romans 5. Now I would like to read this whole thing. Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 21. I don't know if we'll have time. But I would like for you guys, you know, just to take any notes, to try and read this whole chapter. Verse 8.
But God commendeth his love toward us.
He sent his love,
While we were yet sinners, Christ died.
Not while we were perfect and all these great things we were doing and even loving God. No, we were sinners, even in that state. That's agape love. That's why the Bible says, in John, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Well, that word love is agape, meaning unconditionally. I know you don't deserve this, but because I loved you, all right? See, you're gonna find out something that many don't know. It's coming. Just hold on and try to stay level, all right? Concerning the love of God, all right? This is crucial, all right? This, you're going to see why the scriptures are always telling us God is love.
Amen.
God is love. Watch what happens. Let's keep going here in this. Verse 9. Much more than being now justified by what? By his blood. Not the blood of Adam, the first, not the blood of the first Adam, but the second Adam. All right? Justified by his blood, we shall
be saved.
All right, so when you think about it, didn't know, when you say, oh, I'm saved, you're saved from the wrath of God that's coming on this world. All right? That's what you're saved from. All right. Let's keep going.
For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
I love that. It says, while we were enemies with God, he saved us. That's incredible. That's incredible. All right? And that's why he tells us, love your enemies. Because he did it for us. John's always saying that. That's a bondage. When we are in hate, when we are in whatever bitterness, and just don't like for it, they may not even done anything to you. All right? It's just full of just hate, anger, and hatred. You know? The scriptures tell us, God has always told us, even when you go back to Egypt, he says, love the stranger. Don't treat people differently because, you know, whatever reason. He says, remember, you were a stranger in Egypt. He's always telling us, don't act like that's where you were. Remember where you were. Well, this is the same principle. When we were enemies with God, he still came over. So remember, you were my enemy. All right? But yet I still love you. Therefore, we should love our enemies.
Not an easy time to walk in the kingdom of God. This kingdom is strange. All right? All right? It's awesome, though. You know? Like he always says, you give. I love the part when he says, give, and it's going to be given to you. That's not how it works in this world. You're supposed to save and eat, and then I'll have. But God is like, give, and then it'll be given. Awesome kingdom. His kingdom is not like this world. All right. Where were we? 11? Okay, go ahead and read that, please.
And that also, we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right. 12?
Therefore, I am our one man and the world.
Who is that one man?
Adam.
The first Adam. All right.
And death
by sin, for until the law, sin was sin is not treated when there is no law. Nevertheless, God reigns from Adam to Moses, even more than that had not been after the time of Adam's transgression. All right, so it doesn't matter. All right, however you sin, all have sinned. All right, keep going. Stop. How many have ever seen that and really knew what that was talking about?
Adam was the image of Jesus. That blew my mind because it makes perfect sense. All right? Adam is the image of God. And Yeshua is the image of God. He is God. And Adam looked like Jesus. I never really... When I read that, wait a minute. Baruch Hashem, thank you, Yah. All right? So Adam, the first Adam, was very image of God. It makes sense! It makes perfect sense that God made and formed Adam in his image.
Amen.
Why? Because that's Messiah. And know what God did. He didn't make Eve out of the ground. He took Adam's wife from the rib. The side of Jesus, I mean Adam. He was made out of him.
Which is where the bride of Christ comes out of her. It makes perfect sense. Alright? Let's keep going for time's sake. Alright? We could do this all day, man. I'm telling you, I would love to focus and key in and just wait on that. Because that's what Adam said. Ah, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh.
Me. That's why the scriptures tell us, we look like Christ. You are his body.
Let's keep going.
So it calls us the body of Christ, and he was the body of Adam.
Let's keep going. All right. 1 Corinthians. I told you I'm going to start speeding up. So. 1 Corinthians. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Someone real loudly, read verse 45.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. Amen. There you go. There's the first Adam, there's the second. There he is. And who is that? Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. Alright? Alright. So we're all clear? Alright, good. Alright, let's keep going here. Alright, we're supposed to be again in the image of Messiah. Alright? That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be in the image of Christ. Let's go and look at that. Let's please turn to Romans, please. Romans chapter 8. Ultimately, this is about carnal versus spiritual. Carnal mind looks at this world. Spiritual mind looks up there. Alright? And if you are carnal minded, says you cannot please God. Alright? You have to be spiritual. Alright? Alright. Let's look at verse 28. Verse 28, are we there?
Yeah.
28 and 29. What does it say? Ah, man, again, this is an awesome thing. Because, you know, you can't just say, I love God. No, the Bible says, if you love me, you do what? You'll guard my commandments. Alrighty? So, the Bible even tells us, I believe in the loop. This is the love of God, you know. We keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. That's the Scripture. And like Paul said, Joel said, use the Scripture to interpret Scripture. Alright. Continuing. For whom He did what? For no. Guys, this is going to get a little heavy. I'm going to try not to get too wild, alright? But it's going to get a little heavy, and things should connect with other teachings that you've heard before, that we went over. For whom He did what? Foreknow. Selah. Think on it. Dwell on that. He also did what? Predestined to what? Be what? Conformed into the image. Here we go. We're supposed to be molded, formed, and shaped through the Ruach HaKodesh. That's the Holy Spirit that's supposed to be in us, teaching us, leading us, and guiding us into all truth. Alright? That's going to cause us to have that mind, that this mind be in you, that was in Messiah. Alright? We're supposed to be conformed into His what? Image! And Adam was in the image of God, and Adam was actually the image of Christ that was to come. So we are going to be ultimately in the image of God. God. It's all right there. All right. So again, what did it say? Read it again. He did what? Foreknow. And this is where it gets kind of wild. All right. He already knew it. Romans 12. 12. And we can just go right to verse 2. What does verse 2 say? And if you not, all right.
If you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Right. Now, the key principle here, on what we want to grab, was we are supposed to be conformed into God. Not this world, but conformed into the spiritual world. Right. All right. Not into this world and trying to get all what's going on with this world. No, no, no. We're supposed to be looking up and transforming our mind into the same mind of Christ. All right. I want to keep going here. I have a lot to try and get through. All right. Jump to 2nd. Did we read Romans 30?
No.
8:30, we didn't?
No, we read Romans 8.
All right, let's go back. Let's go ahead and read verse 30.
He did predestinate, then he also called. And whom he called, then he also justified. And whom he justified, then he also glorified.
All right, what were those words again, those key words?
justified,
predestitute, and what else? Justified, what else? So the key ones are justified and glorified. Was that it? All right. So we understand that you were justified and what else? We don't understand called because you couldn't be justified unless you're called. We understand that.
Glorified and justified. So again, this is all set up beforehand. We've got to grasp that. That's important. It's mind-blowing. That means everything that we have done was already justified in heaven.
The negative, the bad.
Because you were set up. This is who you already were in before the foundation of the world. All of that mess. That's why he says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Right? I'm going to see something in a minute. It's beautiful. Alright? So we were already justified. Already, note, glorified.
Amen.
So we had a state of glory before the world was, but we don't have that state of glory right now. We're going to be glorified with the glory that we had with God before the world was.
Now, who says that?
Well,
you see what I taught you, the body of Christ, man.
Oh my God, God is incredible.
It's amazing. All right, let's keep going here. All right. Glorified as Christ was glorified. Let's look at that. John 17:5. St. John. Yochanan 17:5. I'm going to look at that again, but just want to go over it a little bit. John 17:5. What does Messiah say? Amen. Amen. That's exactly what we. He says, "What are we doing? Same thing. Going to be with us. We had a glory before the world was, and we are going to be glorified." What you're going to see something in a minute. That's really awesome. All right, just hang on and try your best to follow along. I know. I can go here and there, but do the best to hold on to this roller coaster. Alrighty, let's jump to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Are we there? Alright, what does that say? Who has? What? What did you say? So it wasn't about something that you did. That's why he said, while we were even enemies with God. All right? What did you say? Not according to works, but what? There it is. Before the world began. That means before Adam even sinned, to put us into a state of sin. I don't know if we're all, you know, the body, I'm not here, I'm talking about period. The body really grasping that attitude of that. Alright? This is amazing. Absolutely phenomenal. Alright? Continue. Let's jump over here to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Remember, it says that we were already justified before the world began to. Remember that. We read that earlier. All right. How did all that happen? What happened? When? Because, you know, what does it say? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And how can we be justified unless something has to justify us? Let's jump to 1 Peter 1 and 20. This is why the master said, come out from among them, my people. Because his people lost track of who they were. We lost our identity. All right? That caused in this world. All right? Because we're in this carnal world. And we're carnal.
But we have to have it's told us we have to have a transferring our mind. We have to conform into the image of Christ. That's our instant thing. That's a process. Alright? That's a process. Alright? It's not something that happens instantly. Alright? So what happens? We have to hear it first, and something on the inside, that seed that is in us, alright, is going to begin to germinate. It's going to begin to wake up and begin to start growing. Alright? But we have to hear that word. We have to hear that light first, alright? That's going to trigger that seed to start growing. Alright? That's when a lot of people come and they hear, they come to a church and then they hear the call of salvation, and it begins the process. Alright?
Look what it says here. Where I asked you to go, 1 Peter, let's go chapter 1 and verse 20. And what does that say? All right. So, says what? 1 Peter 1 and 20?
There are four things before the foundation of the world.
Talking about Messiah, right? What else does it say?
All
right, I need somebody to hold on to that. Let me ask you a question before. Who is he talking about? I want to make sure. He's talking about Yeshua.
Yes.
All right? Then he said Yeshua was what? Manifested. What does that mean?
Made
known. He was made known. He came to, he looked through, he said, the word was made flesh. The hills, right? So he was manifested in this present time. For who? For us. Alright? Alright? That's what this is all about, okay? Alright?
Exactly. Again, that goes back to, she can just speak the whole thing because I'm going to just sit down and listen. But anyway, what is it?
It says what? The scripture says that he was what? The lamb slain with before the foundation of the world. Alright? So that's where he got justified. He was the lamb slain before. That's how we were justified. We had to get justified. No. God does everything legally. Alright? That's why it's so awesome that he put that into scripture. Alright? That the lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. That means before Adam was born. Alright? That's how it's legally correct. Alright? God is not going to just do anything unlawful. No. He is a just, lawful God. Alright? Everything he does is lawful. Alright?
I'm going to continue. Let's jump over to Ephesians chapter 1. Somebody there? Okay, what does verse 4 say?
According as he has chosen us in him for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
All right, all this is set up again, guys, before. All right? This is who you are. This is who we are. All right? The image that we are in that same image. All right, that's a lot of forgiveness when you stop to think about it. That's a lot of forgiveness. All right, that's amazing and a beautiful thing. All right, and again, if we are in that same image, you see all the love that God has for us. All right, that's how we're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to be living in that thing. All right, with that same love towards others. That's a lot. When he said, while we were yet enemies, he took his love. He saved us. That's incredible. That's where we're supposed to be going. That's where we're supposed to move. Many of us are not there yet. All right? That's the growth. We're not supposed to, again, we're not supposed to be just, well, you know, God's not done with me yet. No. You're supposed to be making steps.
Amen.
All right? Because remember, when the first Adam accepted Eve, he said, this is bone of my bone. This flesh is my flesh. And when Messiah returns, he's only coming back for those who look like him.
Amen.
All right? Okay? So, again, we can't just, well, I'm going to continue this hate thing. I'm going to still be upset because, he's still working on me. No, we got to press towards Mark.
We have to change. We cannot remain in that state. We have to pray, God, please change me. Call me to be more like you.
Yes.
All right?
Hallelujah.
I know this having this nasty attitude is not like you.
Yes, Lord.
None of us would be saved. None of us would be saved if we had that type of attitude. Because he said, while we were yet, he still.
Thank you, God.
This methodical walk is not an easy thought, easy little glassy walk.
No.
It's hard. It's a struggle. That's why Yeshua said himself, you know, what is it? Pressing leads to life. Broad is the way that leads to death. He said, but narrow, pressing is the way that leads to life. And guess what he said after that? Few there be that find it. So I guess everybody's not going to hang on. Everybody's not going to be willing to take that route. No, I want to go to easy part. See, it's broad. That's easy to hate. Easy to flex your muscle and get mad and attack. But it's hard. It's pressure. It's a struggle to reserve and have what? The fruit of spirit of self-control.
Amen.
And say, oh, no, no, I shouldn't be, no, I shouldn't. Literally, what was those little braces they used to have? What was Jesus do? Yeah. All right. Continuing on, again, scriptures about growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Yep. See? It's a growth.
Yeah.
And note where they started. We were babies. But we're supposed to be conformed to grow into the image of his son. We just read that. All right. What about another one is 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. You see that? What does that say? Mm-hmm. Again, when we're carnal, we're still at that level of babes. Alright? But we need to grow from that and begin to get the meat of the word. Alright? So again, that's a showing the process of growth. Alright? Let's look at, I want to go back to John 14. I want to read some more from there. Regular state John chapter 14. John 14. And we're going to start at verse 8 again. John 14. In verse 8. Again, we saw this before, but I'm going to look at some more. Did everyone get there? All right, are we all there? Okay. And again, it says, and Philip asked him and said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And Yeshua said, have I been with you so long, yet you have not known me?
Help us, Lord.
He that has seen me has seen the Father. All right? And again, I want to jump over to Jump over to Exodus. What's that? That was John, right?
Yeah.
Hold on to Exodus.
Jump over to John 17. So since we're already here, do that first. Yeah, John chapter 17. Okay. Are we there? Now remember when we read in 1 Peter, I think it was chapter 1, verse 18 to 20, it says Christ was manifested for us. All right. Let's jump over to John 17, start at verse 5. Well, actually, verse 4. And I have glorified thee on earth. We see that? I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Verse 5. And now, O Father, what? Glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 6. I have what? Manifested thy name unto. Keep reading. All right. Can I get just one reader? All right. So that we can. All right. Verse 11. One reader, real loud.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep to thy own name.
Keep what?
Keep to thy own name.
Do thy what, everyone?
Amen.
All right. So Yeshua is saying, I'm getting ready to come up to you, Abba. I want you to keep these by your what?
Own
name. All right. This is important. All right. Continue.
Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Jumping back over here to verse 6. He says, I have manifested thy name unto these men. And again, remember that Yeshua is the name of the Father. All right, He is God. He is the very name. Remember in the scriptures, where it says, "I'm going to build a house for my name." I'm going to build a house for my name. He would always say that. Well, you are those houses. Alright? Where his name dwells. I.e. Yeshua. Alright? And nobody says, keep them by your name. Alright? Let's keep watching. Let's keep reading and watching here. Jump over to verse 11. So where we are right here. Alright? And now I come to you, and he says, do what? Keep them by your own name. Can I have another reader who wants to keep reading? Anybody else? We're in verse 12 now. John 17, verse 12,
right now. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I kept. And none of them is lost, but the Son of Perdition.
Are we grabbing hold of what he just said? I kept them in whose name?
In
his name. Yeshua is the name. He is the one that was keeping us, all right? That is keeping them, all right? He is the name of the Father. He is the name that Yah spoke of, place to put my name, all right? It is talking about Yeshua, all right? And continue, please.
That the scripture might be fulfilled. Keep going.
Yes.
And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
Keep going.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
All right, he's going to keep us in his name. Keep going.
They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
Amen.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world.
Mm-hmm. Who is he talking about?
The
his disciples. This is what this prayer is all about. Now watch what happens. Keep going.
And for their sake, I sanctified myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Neither pray I for these alone.
Uh-huh, here it comes.
But for them also which shall believe on me through their word.
All right, so everything that he prayed regarding the disciples that you just read is for you also. It's for me. It's for all of us. All right? That are following him. So when he's praying this prayer, he's talking about you. Don't just think he's talking about the disciples, because you have heard the word. How did you hear about it? Through the disciples. When? You're reading John right here. All right? That's where you were. That's where we learned about the Messiah. All right? Through their teaching.
Yes, sir.
And their books. All right. Jumping over to verse, for time's sake, okay? Jumping over to verse, I know someone else might want to read this, to verse 25. Start at 24.
Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me.
Keep going.
And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the Lord, love wherewith thou hast loved me, may be on them, and I in them.
All right. I just want to say a lot again. Can we all read verse 26?
And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
So again, Yeshua just says, I have declared your name. How did Yeshua, and when did Yeshua declare his name?
When he came here.
Remember, Yeshua is the name. All right? Now, this is important because the name is Yahshua. And the scripture says, the messenger and the angel said, you shall call his name Yahshua, for he, Yah, will Shua, save his people from their sins. Alrighty? So watch what happens here. So that's why the scripture says, there is one Savior. There is none beside me. I am your Savior, Israel. That's what the scripture says. Alright? This is Yah. Alright? In Isaiah and various other prophets. Alright. This is who he is. All right, let's jump real quickly. Let's go back to Exodus now. You know, we say something all the time, and I'm not 100% sure if we're all grasping the way of it as well. The Aaronic blessing. Lord bless you and keep you. I talked about that a little bit earlier. The Lord, the first thing he said, Yah bless you and do what? Keep you. So Yah is our keeper. Remember, what did Yeshua say? I'm getting ready to go. But what do I want you to do? I'm not on earth. He says what? You become the keeper. Your name. Keep them. Do we not remember just reading that?
Yeah.
So that Aaronic blessing is a prophecy. All right, Yah bless you and keep you. Watch, Yah make his what face to shine upon you. So how is his face? Who is the face of just? It's Yeshua.
Amen.
And guess what? He's shining upon us because he's in us.
Amen.
And then what does it say? Yah lift up his countenance upon you, give you the Holy Spirit, and ultimately, he gives you what shalom. And I love how it's broken down into three parts. All right? Yah bless you and keep you. That's so you can see that Abba himself, Father. Yah what?
Yeah.
Make his face to shine upon you. That's the second part. You can look at it as the three loaves of bread when we do Passover. All right? What did you say with the middle one? What did the middle one say? What's the middle one say? Yah make his face to shine upon you and be what?
Gracious.
Isn't that they say great? Is Yeshua all for the grace? And Yeshua is like that middle piece of bread that's broken for us. And if it wasn't broken, guess what? We wouldn't receive the Spirit of God. All right? Which ultimately causes the space to start upon it. All right? I'm sorry for going so fast and everything, but there's only a couple minutes left. Jump over to accident. I'm going to go really fast now. All right? Hope you're able to glean something. I hope this shotgun kicks in. All right. Exodus chapter 11. I'm sorry, 33 rather. Exodus chapter 33. Alright, here you're going to see another prophecy of Yeshua. Exodus chapter 33. Are we there?
Yes.
Alright, and verse 18. What does that say, someone?
And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory.
Show me thy what?
Glory.
And we know that Yeshua is the manifested glory of God. Alright, the Father. Alright? Alright? He said, show me thy glory. Alright. What else does it say? What's that verse 19 now?
Yes.
Go ahead, keep reading.
And he said, I will make all my goodness pass by before thee.
Watch what happens.
And I will proclaim the name of Yah before thee.
Mm-hmm.
And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
Now, again, read that part where he says, I will do what about the name? I will
proclaim
the name. So he's getting ready to proclaim the name. Remember, this is the same thing that Yeshua said. He's getting ready to declare the name of God. Now, Yeshua said, I've declared your name and will declare it. All right? Again, this is showing you're getting ready to see the name of Yah. All right? Now, I know a lot of people say, what does the name Yahweh mean? People say, oh, this is a self-sufficient one. You're getting ready to see what the name of Yah means. Alright? You're getting ready to see because it's exactly what Yeshua did. Alright? It's the exact same thing. Remember, Yeshua said, He is the name. The scripture says, He is the name. Alright? Let's look at this. Let's keep going. Who was reading? Who was reading? Okay, please continue.
And will be gracious to
you. And give me the verse number 2 as you go.
I'm still on number 8.
Mm-hmm.
And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious,
mm-hmm.
and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy.
Are we hearing what God's saying?
Yes.
This mean, evil, you know, mad God, with all the, you know, there's no grace until the New Testament. The people would say, grace only came after the New Testament. No, no, no. He is describing himself. Let's read that again.
I will proclaim the name of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And will be gracious to whom I will be gracious.
I will be gracious until I will. That's the first thing he said.
And
he didn't say I'm going to be wrathful until whoever. No, he said the first thing I will say, I'm going to be gracious to whoever I will be gracious to. Ready to continue?
Verse 20. And he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Verse 21. And Yah said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 22, and it shall come to pass while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand,
mm-hmm.
while I pass by.
Right.
And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. Chapter 34.
All right, that's it. We're going to stop right there. All right. Now, again, he just said he's going to put you in a place by him. He said he's going to put his hand over you. He said there's a cleft of a rock. He's going to place them. All right. All of those are pictures of Messiah. All right. All that's pictures of Messiah. Now watch. Let's see what happens here. Go ahead on to 34 and read verse 5 and 6 for time's sake.
And Yah descended in the cloud and stood with him there.
Stop. We got to stay alive. We got to grab a little bit. Know what it just said. Yah himself came down. Yeah, I love that they put it. He descended in the clouds. And that's like what Yeshua is going to do when he returns. Remember, the angel said, the way he saw him go up, it's the same way he returned. And how did he go up? He went up in a cloud. All right? Now, again, watch what it says here. And Yah, what? Descended in a cloud. I need a Moses. Come Moses real quick. Somebody, sit up here and be Moses. Real quick. All right. Alright, and what does it say? Yah himself, stop right there, Moses. Yah, the Bible says that Yah came down in a cloud. Here he comes. And it said, and what does it say, read?
And
Yah
descended in the cloud.
And did what? And he stood with them there. That's what your word says. So where is Yah?
In
He's standing where? Next to Moses. Keep reading.
Then proclaim the name of Yahweh.
There it is. I have proclaimed it and I will proclaim it again. What did he do? He proclaimed the name of Yahweh. Or Yahuwah. Alright? He's getting ready to declare the name of Yahweh. He's getting ready to tell you what the name is. Alright? Now watch what he said. He declared, and then read that part again. He declared
and
proclaimed the
God
name.
God descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of God.
Alright, imagine he's still standing there.
In verse 6. And Yah passed by before him and proclaimed.
Hold it! Hold it! Wait a minute. Yah was standing next to Moses. But now, suddenly, here comes, but I thought he was standing right here. Again, you're seeing, remember Yeshua said to that, I think it was Nicodemus, he says, how is the Son of Man here on earth with you right now? Yet the Son of Man is in heaven. Alright? So again, this is showing God. Alright? Now this is the same picture of the manifested image of God, but yet God is still in heaven. Alright? This is saving of God being in a place, yet God is still in heaven. Alright? What verse is that? That's 34.
Chapter 34.
34 in what? In verse 6. Alright, hold on a moment. 34 in verse 6. Again, I'm going to read 5. And the Lord God descended in a cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed, declared the name of Yahuwah. Just hang on that. And then verse 6. And Yah passed by, yet Yah was still standing there. Yah passed by, watch, before him. Alright? So he's standing there, yet here he comes before him. Alright? And proclaim, watch what he says. Yahuwah! Yahuwah! El, not Elohim, but El. Alright? El, period. That's it. Alright? He didn't say Elohim in this. He says El. Now watch what happens here. First description of the very name. Thank you, Moses. I just wanted people to see the picture of Moses standing. You can see it. All right. He says, merciful.
Uh-huh.
That's the first. Now remember, this is not Moses declaring what the name means. No, Yah is doing it himself. God could have described it. Here it says, Yahweh, the great creator of all of this, who manifested life from nothing, who created the structure of the heavens. No, he didn't say that. The first description of himself is merciful. Now watch when we break down that word. Let's see here. I wrote it down. Is that, where's my merciful, merciful, merciful? Merciful. Damn it. All right, it is. It is 73:49. All right, ultimately meaning compassionate. All right, are you with me? Now, when you look at the root for compassionate, it's the Hebrew word rakan, which means, watch this, to love deeply. So Yah is saying, the first thing that he says when you describe the name Yah is love. Alright? God is love. That, it joyfully is. Alright? I love. That's the first thing that he is. Alright? Alright? Now let's look what else he says. Somebody read that for me. Merciful, and then what?
Merciful and gracious.
Stop right there. That's 2587. Alright? Kanan. Alright? Which ultimately means, watch this, to bend a knee.
Listen, watch what it says. To bend a knee to an inferior.
Mm-hmm.
You see that? To stoop down to their level. Mm-hmm. You see that? Isn't that what he did? Did he not go down? To others, stoop down. Now, what I love is the connection between love and stooping down on a knee. What does that remind you of?
Getting buried. Getting buried. Absolutely. All right. Check it out. Look at what the word does. All right. Check them out. It says, long suffering, right? What else does it say, guys?
abundant in goodness.
I know, notice, I love that they put abundant in goodness. Keep going.
And
emet, which means, truth, which also means faithful.
Faithful.
All right? That's just who he is. All right? He's the faithful God. All right? Continue. I mean, when you look at all of these, it's a beautiful husband or woman.
Amen.
You know, it gives you all these attributes of an awesome lover. All right? That everybody would love to have. I don't even want a faithful.
Amen.
My hope, you know what I mean? Faithful, all of it, so passionate, all of it, deeply loving you.
Yes.
Not just loving you on the surface.
Yes.
Yeah, I love you. No, this is, that's deep love, that's a constant being in love.
Yes.
That's why I and you, we're in love, that's, we're in love. This is amazing stuff here, all right? What does it say? Merciful, right? We always talk about it. What does it say? When you make a mistake, that person's going to forgive you. Just do that enough instantly to, oh no, you're out of here. You know, constantly forgive you. Alright? This is Yah. Isn't he always talking about Israel? I'm your husband.
Yeah.
Then he called Israel, you adulteress? You want everybody else but me. You know, but then what does he still do? Take her back. It's amazing. This is amazing. That's deep love. Because honestly, a lot of us, if our spouse cheated on us, we're out, buddy. It's gone. It's over with. One time. But when you're in that deep love, you still maintain, you still hold on. Even like, if some of us were fools, you know, the person might not even care about you, but you still, whatever they do, I still love you. And you can act like you're mad, but you know you're going to take them back. And this is God. He acts like he's mad. Now he's just angry. He said, if you're a Jew, I'm going to do this. I'm going to scare you up. I'm going to send you here. You're going to go there. I'm going to strip your woman here around here. And if you steal them, I'm going to do this.
But I said, I'm not going to destroy you. I said, no.
Fine, because I love you. Yeah, I love you. He's awesome. Again, this is Yah. Now, no, we're not even done yet, all right? But I'm going to, there's much more. Like I said, we're getting ready to roll now. The time is running out. All right. He says what? After truth?
Keeping mercy.
Now, again, we've got to understand what that says. It's keeping mercy for thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments, right? Note what it says. I'm keeping mercy to those who what? What's it say? Come on, guys. Yes.
Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin.
All right, going back here, keeping mercy for thousands.
Uh-huh.
That's thousands of generations, by the way. All right? Nobody said keeping mercy. Well, how many, without looking at the word, how many think you know what that word means?
Remember Adam and Eve? Remember Adam? The Bible said you were supposed to keep the garden?
Yes.
He's got the same word. One thing, what's the word that he used for Adam?
Shamar.
Right? Shamar the garden. Same thing he said, keep the Sabbath. We're supposed to Shamar the Sabbath, right?
Yes.
But guess what? This is. This is not the word Shamar.
This is a different Hebrew word.
Sure.
All right? This Hebrew word is the Hebrew word Nasar. You know what that means?
Yes.
Keeping?
It means do this. If I got a sword,
hallelujah.
He says, I'm going to be a watchman over the mercy that I have.
Hallelujah.
He is going to try to get down to the first. You know what they did? But God says, no. I'm going to stand over to proclaim life. Remember what he did with the blood?
Hallelujah.
Oh, they got my faith. All right, come to for life. And what did he do?
He said, no, he didn't even have to stand by.
He said, he stood over that place like a guard. Because death could not get in the house because of the blood.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
And that's what we have when we have that blood. That's what the Bible says this. Put my name on it. Remember that we were talking about that Shamar blessing? I mean, the Aaronic blessing?
Yeah.
He says, put my name on it.
Yeah.
So that's what we said. Y'all bless you, Jesus. Y'all have this, we have his name on it. When he says, put my name on it, man, are we forgetting Messiah is the name?
Amen.
We have that on us.
That's good.
That's Mary. We are Mary. We have that name on
on us.
All right. That's a, like I said, that's a process. And when we have that name on us, guess what? We're supposed to be like him too. Yeah. We're supposed to represent our husband. When a wife goes to her, she's supposed to be representing the spirit of glory of her house. Who are you? Oh, I'm such a
wife.
Remember, somebody says, oh, no, I don't know. Oh, I'm such a such wife. But when you come into the presence of somebody who you know, oh, here comes the such a such wife. Hi, how are you? That's how we are. We're walking around. That's how we're supposed to be walking around. We're carrying the name of God, our husband on us, man. And when we really get together, and we're spiritual, where I'm going to recognize it. Spiritual, where I'm going to recognize it. Here comes. That's why they're going to obey every word you say. Even if they don't see you, they see him. They're not going to see you. They're going to see him. That's why we are called the body. Just like Eve was the body of Adam. We're supposed to be the body of Messiah. All right, there's much more, guys. Again, could not get to it all. Jump over, please, and we'll close. Again, there's much. I couldn't do it justice that I wanted to. All right, let's go to Jude. We'll close with Jude. Second. I'm hoping I was able to deliver it enough to wait for you to grab something. All right. Jump to Jude, Yehuda. Turn to Jude chapter 1. Are we there? All right. Jude chapter 1, and we'll just read verse 24 and call it. This is not done, by the way. All right, Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Who's going to read that? And we'll close.
Now unto him that is able to keep you from
falling. Stop right there. Did you hear that? Unto him who is able to do what? Keep you from falling. Why was he going to keep you? Because the Jew said, keep them by your own name. Remember that? And he kept reading the name that was proclaimed when he stood by Moses. And one of that thing was, I'm going to keep mercy. I'm going to guard and protect over you.
All
right. And he's going to say he's able to keep us from falling.
Because he's guarding us.
All right. That's his name. Keep going.
And present you faultless.
What did he say? I will have mercy on whomever I will. And you're justified. Remember that? Keep going.
The presence of his glory
with
exceeding joy.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, you can.
To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and honor, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever.
Amen. 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 Absolutely. Abba Yah, we thank you so much for placing your name on us. Thank you for the mercy. Thank you for the grace. Thank you for loving us even though we were enemies to you. When we did not love you, yet you still commit your love toward us. We thank you for all that you are doing, all that you have done, and what you will do. Abba Yah, we ask you again, remind us daily who we are. Remind us that we should be more like you, loving, having mercy, long-suffering, like you, so that we could be conformed into your image. In Yahshua's name, we pray and we thank you, Abba, for this Shabbat, this day of rest. We ask, Lord God, that you open the eyes and the hearts and the minds of people all over this world, those that you have called by name. As the scripture says, there is no Yahudi, no Jew, nor Gentile. We are one new man through the blood of Messiah. We are one family. And as Christ even said, who are my brothers? Who are my mother, my sisters? But those that do the will of my Father. And as David said, I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is in my heart. God, help us to walk worthy of this beautiful calling that you called us to. God, help us, Lord God, to stand strong in the midst of the adversary when trying to pull things.